It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back on the Keystone Kickoff Show. As promised, we're looking ahead to Penn State, Indiana. We're sitting in the same position as we were last week when things did not go well for us picking the Michigan State game. It happens, but we're getting right back on that horse. He's Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hockensmith. This segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com, where we're offering a unique RV opportunity. You know about their lot, all the amenities that come with it. There's also a possibility of get the Keystone Sports Network RV. It's a special RV. You get all the benefits of staying there, along with some special extras, a catered barbecue meal from 409 Tailgate Club, along with the famous 409 Tailgate Club gift box. Also included as part of this package, two bottles of wine with a blue and white wine gift box and a case of Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light beer, not to mention a Keystone Sports polo shirt and hat. You've got all the gear, all the food, all the drink. Everything is taken care of. Check out all the details. GoPSURV.com. You can send an email to Jim at info@ksnsports.net or download the Keystone Sports app if you don't have it already and use the Contact Us button to get there. And by the way, there's an Ask Greg button. We're talking Ask Greg a little bit later. Your Penn State football questions, you can ask your own there on the Keystone Sports app. So I didn't catch the initial point spread.
It was 14.
14. So another 14-point spread. This time Penn State going on the road to Indiana. And the last time this happened was after Penn State's big win in 2016 over Ohio State, and there was a struggle in Bloomington early. What do you see? What is your initial impression here? Because as down as Penn State fans might be, I think Indiana fans are even more down on their team.
Well, you know, I mean, it feels like a long time since Indiana started 4-0 and things were looking up going into the Michigan State game. Since then, they've lost to Michigan State. Close, but not really that close. If you look at the stats, they lost to Ohio State. I understand they were leading that game at one point in time, but blew it in the end and lost by a considerable amount. And then there was the last week's game, which was a blowout loss to Iowa. So not much going right so far this season for Indiana. Very similar to Penn State. Once it got into some tougher competition, things didn't go so well.
Yeah, so Indiana lost three out of their last four. You mentioned Iowa, 42-16. That one came at home. They lost 35-21 to Michigan State at home. They also had a home game. There's week two of the season where they beat Virginia 20-16. Hasn't really taken shape the way that they thought. Indiana's had some run game struggles. They also haven't had that real physical and good defense that you've sort of associated with them, giving up quite a bit of points in their most recent Big Ten game. So it's an opportunity here for Penn State. And, you know, all the games outside of Ohio State, I think, have fallen under the umbrella of if Penn State takes care of their own business, they don't have trouble. I think even in hindsight, I think you could say the same thing against Michigan State. If they took care of their business and made the plays that were available to them, you'd be looking at a very different situation here when it comes to Penn State. I think the big question just in general and with this week in particular is where does Penn State go from here? That loss to Ohio State, I don't know if it lingered or not. They had a bye week to get past that. Does the loss to Michigan State and does the, you know, effectively knocking some goals off the table, how does that sit with Penn State in this matchup?
Well, first breaking news, the Land-Grant trophy was broken during Michigan State's celebration, but I believe they're going to repair it. So I know everyone was waiting for that update, and there they have it.
You know that thing's already got about a gallon of super glue on it. What's
now,
a little bit more?
Indiana. We'll go back to focusing on this week. I guess my concern for Penn State going into this game, more so than anything else, Dustin, is that not that Indiana's a good football team. They're dealing with a lot of stuff right now. I mean, Morgan Ellison, their star running back, is facing sexual misconduct allegations. He hasn't been with the team since early October, and there's no sign that he will be with the team this weekend. So they got a lot going on out there. Their quarterback play is still pretty uneven and unsteady. I mean, it's not a great team, but Michigan State was not a great team, and they come on the road and find a way to beat Penn State. Now, they also beat Indiana, so I mean, I don't know how much that says about the Hoosiers, but The concern for me is that Penn State really has to flush these last 3 weeks in a hurry. And, you know, get back to, you know, Trace McSorley was saying that they have to get back to focusing on, you know, it almost sounds to me like Penn State's having its pre-Minnesota moment from 2016 where they really sort of die. But I don't understand why they keep having these moments. You know, why does it sort of ebb and flow when it comes to them staying focused and staying on track? I really don't understand it. But at the end of the day, they need to get bought back in and soon and get everybody on the same page, because otherwise you go to an Indiana, again, this is a desperate Indiana team, and it will certainly think it can and score a home upset other than any Lions. I don't think that's possible, but I didn't even think last week was possible either.
What does Penn State do with its offense in particular? Because that was one of the more disappointing things, is that they weren't able to capitalize what so many teams capitalized on against Michigan State, which was a pretty continuous a pretty generous pass defense.
Yeah.
And Penn State's pass offense just didn't get it done.
No, and the concerning thing is, it didn't just not get it done, but it was never even close to getting on track. I mean, there were missed fires, there were guys not open, there were some drops. I mean, it was everything. The fade play call was horrible. Didn't that remind you of Bill O'Brien with Allen Robinson and Christian Hackenberg?
The insistence on that play is something I think you and I
that needs to be taken out of the playbook, burned, and then maybe the whole playbook burned. Honestly, and just to make sure the fade is, you know, they can make a new playbook, but just get the fade as far away. That play had no chance. Dustin, you and I had as good a chance of catching that as Juwan Johnson did. I mean, there was never any point on that play where that was going to work. So get that out of there. Just go back to the basics of short pass. You know, they've had a lot of success with Pat Freiermuth. He was targeted, I believe, 7 times. He only had 3 catches. Most of them were not catchable at all. A couple were good plays, but they need to get him going and get this offense as a whole going. I think Mack Hibbenhammer has earned some more playing time. I think everyone wants to see Justin Shorter out there, but I'm telling you, if he was practicing well enough to earn reps, he'd be out there. Clearly he's not, whether it's ability or injury, I don't know. But, you know, that's one of the things I keep, you know, they're in game, the tweets come hot and heavy from all over the place. And one of the things they endlessly ask for is Justin Shorter. Look, if he was earning his reps, he'd be out there.
Here's the risk with that. So if he wasn't ready physically and he didn't get as many reps as he needed in training camp, so he's not ready week one, the risk is, even though you do feel like he's ready in week 4 or 5, if you give him that leash and that opportunity, you know, you have a chance to burn his red shirt and not get anything out of it. What would you say? So the threat coming into this game, you look back at 2016, the offense, the identity of it was that big play down the field. A lot of people criticize it being jump ball. I think it was more calculated than that. Last year, it was built around Saquon Barkley. Not only his run and receiving skills, but the fact that opposing defenses paid so much attention to him, it opened other things up. Now, this year, the concern was not just moving on from Joe Moorhead to Ricky Ronnie on a full-time basis, but what the personnel Penn State had, what their identity is. I feel like I don't know what that is right now.
I thought the CDT did a really good story talking to a handful of players on offense about why they didn't throw the ball downfield, and not one of them had a good answer for it. In fact, they were all almost confused and were questioning it themselves. Someone said earlier this week, asked about the identity offense, and they said that we're a run team. And if that's what you want to be, fine. Is that what it looks like they are? Yeah, actually it does.
But they weren't that when it mattered the most.
Exactly. Like, and you can't go away from what got you here, which was a fun, explosive passing attack that took advantage of what the defense gave you and really drove it home from start to finish. This team looks a little bit, I don't know about you, but to me the word confused comes to mind. Like, it doesn't know what it wants to be. At one moment it wants to be a run first team that really, you know, takes advantage of Miles Sanders and all the things he does. At a second time, it's the RPO offense that obviously has its own set of rules and the way things work. And then at other times, it looks like it wants to be a pass offense and dial things home that way. So I don't know. Where's Tommy Stevens? That's obviously the other question that a lot of people continue to ask. He has not been a part of the game plan except for 3 very poorly timed plays against Ohio State. I think it could be a good way to get him back involved as well and maybe get him moving a little bit. James Franklin always mentions that when, you know, who do you want to take off the field for Tommy Stevens to come on? I would take just about any of the receivers outside of Hamler off at this point. I don't think you lose anything.
What do you have to lose?
Right.
That's a fair question also. Talking Penn State, Indiana, looking ahead to Saturday's matchup in Bloomington. Segment brought to you by tailgatewine.com. Awesome wines available for sale there. For example, an 1855 Vidal Sapphire Blue, a blueberry wine, Old Main Pinot Grigio. Check them out at tailgatewine.com. For this game, you know, I feel like Penn State just has to get its offense moving in the right direction. What do you want to be? How do you get there? You know, I think if you are a run team, you can use the run more effectively than they have so far to set up and maybe make life a little easier for a passing game that hasn't gotten on track. The running skills of Trace McSorley, did we see much of that against Michigan State? I'm trying to think of when you really saw. And I think some of that, you know, when it comes to Trace McSorley, is the way that they pressured. I didn't see a lot of lanes.
No.
And That's one area where, you know, that was a lot of Penn State's offense against Ohio State. Whether it was by design or whether that was when things broke down, McSorley always had an escape route. I think Michigan State, you know, as I'm looking back and trying to visualize this game, did a great job of not giving Trace McSorley an escape route. And that's easier said than done.
Well, they just spied him on every single play, and that's what made the—
But Ohio State did too.
Right, you know? But I don't know if they did as much, honestly. I really don't. It didn't feel like it anyway, and it didn't feel like the Ohio State made— – Michigan State made a concerted effort and said, this guy is not going to run on us. And Michigan— – Ohio State felt more like— – I feel like they were— – I don't know if arrogance is the right word, but I think they felt like they could play the defense they wanted to play and dictate what Trace McSorley was going to do, and it didn't work. Michigan State just decided that it was not going to— – it was not going to allow him to run, which made the design runs that they kept calling all the more frustrating, I think, to watch, because— – there's always a Michigan State guy there waiting. So, yeah, they made a concerted effort to take that away. I don't know if Indiana's good enough to do it, but they have a top 50 pass defense. They're actually three spots better in the 60s than Penn State is against the run. I mean, it's not a defense if you think you're going to walk in and overpower it. You're going to be able to, especially with the way the receivers are playing right now. So I don't like my pick again this week.
Well, why don't you get into that then?
Yeah, I have it 40-20 Penn State, but I don't know. Can Penn State score 40? I mean, I know this sounds stupid coming from a guy that talked 2 or 3 weeks ago about, you know, averaging 50 points a game, but in Big Ten play, can Penn State score 50 or 40 points? I don't know. I think they can. 40-20, I'm not giving up on it just yet. I think the offense gets moving a little bit. Indiana does score some points, not nearly enough to ever be threatening for a win, though.
I'm going to say 35-24. I think Indiana is going to— – you know, the way that they play offense and the way that Ohio State moved the ball on those short passes, I think Indiana could probably replicate some of that. And I think things are going to go a little sideways on the road for some portion of this game. Penn State's offense will get on track. But I'm going to pick Indiana to cover that one as it stands now. 35-24. You can see how right or wrong we are. We've been quite frequently wrong here on this show, and hopefully we can change that moving forward. Tyler Donahue from Lions 247 is going to bring some sanity to this show coming up in a minute.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh, yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.